In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So don't forget to breathe, especially on a day like today. It's a celebration. Hail the festival day we came in on. Don't forget to breathe in the midst of it. And especially after a reading like this that we get from Acts, with all the excitement and everything that has been happening in there in that moment, that cacophony of sound, the rushing wind and the tongues of fire, the multitude of languages, and everyone trying to figure out just what was going on. Don't forget to breathe indeed. So I'm also thankful that our gospel reading today ends with Jesus telling Philip, "Peace. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you." Reminding him that God's Holy Spirit will come and be with them, and dwell among them and within them as well, to light upon them and to guide them, and remind them of all that Jesus has done, and to teach and lead them into all truth, and to strengthen them as they go out and continue to do that work in the world. Jesus tells Philip and us as well, "I tell you that one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." So with all of that, don't forget to breathe. And it is a great day today. It's Pentecost. It's a wonderful day, and it's absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite times of year in the whole entire church calendar. There's this new energy in the air. It's filled with the very essence of life itself. And we celebrate the eruption of God's Holy Spirit throughout the world. And we get to wear red, which is awesome. So I was rocking some red socks. I don't know if you can see them. It's kind of like St. Patrick's Day with the green, but red St. Patrick's Day. A lot of fun. And everybody's dressed in red, and we're decorated in red. We have these red banners that I'm looking at, and they kind of remind me of those tongues of fire that might have been in that room with the apostles. I recently had a conversation about that with a friend of mine, about these handful of times throughout the year that we get to wear red. It's not all that often. But one of those times we get to wear red and decorate like this is at ordinations. And ordinations as well. And it's kind of just like the one that we had this year, right here in this very room. I don't know if you remember that. I do a little bit. I was there. This was my ordination that we had. And I remember right beforehand, our bishop was asking me, he said, "You know, are you nervous?" Of course, I'm standing there kind of like half shaking, half like long blank stare way out at what is about to take place. Both I know and I don't know. So yeah, I'm a little bit nervous about this. He said, "Don't worry, you'll be okay. Just don't forget to breathe." So I took that not only as advice for not physically passing out in the middle of the service, which I imagine he gave that advice because he might have seen that before, but also to make sure that I was breathing in that moment and all those moments and that air and the energy that was in this room and in the midst of everyone gathered, every single moment of it. And especially the moment where all of us who were gathered together called upon the Holy Spirit to be present. Singing Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. We sang it over and over with each and every breath. And the Holy Spirit was there, and it was real. And though I was the one being ordained as a priest of this church on that particular day, the Holy Spirit was very much among all of us. As our Eucharistic prayer says today, the Holy Spirit giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood, and that's all of us, and to preach the gospel to all nations, and that's all of us again, through the various gifts that we are given by the Holy Spirit, those various languages of love that we pour out into this world. And so, yes, it was this very same Holy Spirit that was there, the very Spirit that was in this room and was also in that room with those first Christians on the day of Pentecost. God's breath, breathing and pouring out into the world, both then and right now. So once again, don't forget to breathe. And it reminds me of this scene from a movie called Karate Kid. Has any of y'all seen Karate Kid before? Oh yeah, it's awesome. You know, there's at least the two main characters, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel. You have the student and the teacher there. And on a broad scope of all of them, this one I'm talking about is from Karate Kid 2. So you got to really, really get into the trilogy on it and go. So on a broad scope, this whole story, we do see this image of two very, very different people coming together and forming a close and a tight relationship. One's older and one's younger, and from completely different places in the world too, and very different backgrounds and lives, but coming together nonetheless. It sounds a little bit like Pentecost to me. And anyway, in this particular scene for this movie, the two are engaging in another one of those training exercises Mr. Miyagi puts Daniel through, much like, you know, the famous wax on, wax off. It's repetitive, constantly, wax on, wax off. And as Daniel starts, he is all out of sorts and a little bit disheveled. And he says that he just can't do it today. He can't do it because he just feels that his life is losing focus and it's kind of spinning out of control. So Mr. Miyagi, he replies, saying, when you feel your life going out of focus, you have to always stop and return to the most basic of life. And so he takes a deep breath and then he exhales. Even amidst Daniel's snarky guesses as to what that might be. But he continues in saying, No, it is breathing, breath. That's the most basic of life. No breath, no life, he says. And he invites Daniel to join, and they spend a moment breathing together, peacefully and intentionally, over and over. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. And afterwards, Mr. Miyagi asks Daniel, how do you feel? Daniel says, much better, feeling a lot better, more focused. And like in fashion of Mr. Miyagi, says, good, now get back to work. It's time to go. There's work to do. And so don't forget to breathe in and to breathe out as you are engaging in that work. So this breathing being one of the most basic parts of life. What is it that we are doing physically when we're breathing? You know, we breathe in, gathering up this air around us and helping us to fuel and energize our bodies physically. And then we breathe out back into the world, this gathering and releasing and this repetition over and over. Breathe in, breathe out. And for us, it is this repetitive cycle of gathering and releasing that sustains our physical lives. And I also wonder about the breath of God. It's the divine wind that was at the very base of creation in the very, very beginning. The breath of God and the winds of creation that came over the waters of chaos, bringing into existence everything. And the word for breath and wind are the same in the Hebrew. And in the Greek, the words for breath and wind are the same as well. The wind that came rushing into that upper room where the disciples were gathered, and the breath of God and the Holy Spirit rushing and roaring into that place, creating something new yet again, the birth of the Christian church. And those first disciples just before our story today, before our passage in Acts, it's been 10 days since Jesus ascended into the right hand of the Father. Before Jesus left, he told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem and to get ready to wait on the Holy Spirit to come. And so they did that. They returned to Jerusalem and went to that room together and prayed continuously. And they prayed as one and being as one. And the disciples who were gathered there, they were not the only ones coming into this city. It was a festival going on. It was the festival and the Feast of Weeks that was happening right there. So there's pilgrims coming into Jerusalem from all over, all walks of life, all different places and backgrounds and languages. And so there's this image of this gathering up, this bringing together, and then it happens. Then the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit. And so as Peter preaches probably one of the first sermons of the church ever, he quotes from Joel, making it known that the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto all flesh and breathed into all flesh. That means everyone gets in on it, like Corinthians says. Both sons and daughters and women and men alike, young and old, all of everyone gets in on it. And that Spirit is continued to be poured out from that place to the very ends and the edges of the earth. The Christian church has been born. The Holy Spirit has come. And as those first Christians exhaled from that first gathering, from that place, continue to spread. And Christians continued to gather and continued to worship with each other. And then from that place exhaled again back out into the world, gathering and breathing in and exhaling back out. And bringing together into one place with them to offer each other all those different gifts, all those various things that the Holy Spirit has bestowed on us, almost like everybody has a different language in which to go out into the world and to preach the good news, the gospel, to live through your life. It's that saying of preach the gospel continually, speaking only when necessary. It can also be preached by all of these gifts and all that we are. And we make up, as Corinthians says, this body of Christ together, all the different parts. And I get this image of Christ's lungs today when we gather together and breathe in that air that the real, very real Holy Spirit is right here amongst us. We gather together and then we are to go back out into the world, breathing on the world, that same Holy Spirit. So let us not forget to breathe, and let us breathe continually. Breathe in and breathe out, and breathe in and breathe out. Amen.